You know, we hear a lot about angels these days, and around Christmas we hear a lot about angels. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said his wife was an angel. I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "She's always up in the air, harping about something." I thought that was terrible that he would say that. But angels are real beings, and they do exist, and they've had a very important part. So I want to talk to you about how the angels looked upon Christmas. Sometimes we think about them and wonder about them. I've heard some things on the news recently about someone who almost died, and they were talking about angels. Most of the time we think about looking up to the angels. At Christmas we talk about looking up to the angels, but what about the angels looking down? What do they see? Peter, when he talked in the text I'm going to give you, he was talking about the prophets saying that they didn't understand everything that they wrote. And he said that the angels didn't understand. Look at 1 Peter just a second, chapter 1, just one verse, one text verse today, and that's verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. In this verse, he's giving us some insight into the fact that some of the prophets did not understand some of the things, nor did the angels, when it comes to the great story of redemption. So he says in verse 12, 1 Peter 1:12, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things," notice this clause here, "which things the angels desire to look into." Speaking from the perspective of the angels in that time. Which things the angels desire to look into. The prophets often would give in the same sentence, and you might say almost in the same holy breath, a prophecy about the suffering of Jesus Christ, as well as a prophecy about the royalty of Jesus Christ. They might say something like, "By his stripes are we healed," and then they might say almost in the same breath, "He will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace." Now we look back on history, and we know what they did not even know then. We look back and we understand what it was all about. That Jesus Christ was first going to come and die for us and pay our sin debt. And then Jesus Christ, just as was just sung, Jesus is going to come back and reign for us. And I'm glad that he's going to do that. Thank God for that promise of his second coming. But Peter and the angel said that the angels did not understand that. The angels are not omnipresent. The angels are not omniscient. They do not know everything. And there were a lot of things they didn't understand. As I was musing and thinking about this, I went back to the beginning. Way back before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine? The angels are already there. And before the foundation of the world, the Bible says that Jesus volunteered, part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to become Emmanuel, or God with us in human flesh. And I can imagine as they saw that episode taking place, the angels were wondering, well, why is he volunteering to do that? And they were probably asking the question, what is earth? And what is creation? It hadn't been done yet. And what is a human being? And what is sin? And what's going to happen because of this thing called sin? I could imagine them just wondering about it all before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says that Jesus, in the mind of the Holy Trinity, died for us before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever came into existence, it was determined in heaven. And I can just imagine those angels wondering, what's this all about? And then came creation. Job 38, when you read that, you'll find that Job said, "The morning stars sang together, and he and the sons of God shouted for joy." These were the ones. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and he's talking about the angels, I believe, here looking at creation. As they observed creation, they saw what God was doing, and they said, "Look at that beautiful, beautiful light that God has made. And look, perhaps an archangel gathered those that were under him, the other angels, and said, 'Look up there at what we today would call the Milky Way. Look what God is doing. Look how beautiful all of that is. Look at the star. Look at these things.' And these angels shouted with joy as they knew that God Almighty, the great and mighty God, was the Creator. And now he was showing them what he was talking about even earlier. But then there was war in heaven. You know, God created all of the cherubim and the seraphim and the high angels. And then there was one by the name of Lucifer. He was an angel. But he was the archangel. He was the covering cherub, the Bible says. He was the ruling prince of all of the rest of them. He was next in line under Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit making up the Trinity. And then came this one, Lucifer. He was powerful. He was real. He was an archangel. He had responsibilities. He walked in gems, gold and silver and rubies and sapphires. But a problem came. God gave the angels choice, by the way. And so Lucifer said, "I want to be God." And he gathered around him some that he had influenced because God allowed him to have that position. And he got 1/3 of all of the angelic beings to agree with him that he should be God. But Jesus got the other 2/3. And they gathered together and said, "We can't have this in heaven." They kicked him out of heaven. Lucifer and 1/3 of the angels were kicked out of heaven down to this earth. And they've been causing problems ever since. You see, Lucifer's problem was he rebelled against God. And that's exactly what people do today. They rebel against God. God told him who he was. He saw all of that. He saw what he had done in creation. But he said, "I, lifted up with pride, I want to be God." And that's exactly why people do not get saved. I've never understood it. Why would people reject God? Why would anybody here this morning who's unsaved, why would they listen to the devil rather than listen to God? Why would they reject God? Why would anybody in their right mind reject going to heaven and decide rather to go to hell? It makes no sense whatsoever. And you talk about Lucifer blowing it and not doing the right thing. He did, and he's been our enemy ever since. But we do the very same thing today. But Jesus and 2/3 of the angels cast Lucifer and the other 1/3 out of heaven. You see, as in every case, as in all cases, sin always destroys, doesn't it? Lucifer sinned. Lucifer rebelled against God. And sin always brings heartache. It destroys. Sin destroys people today. It hurts people. Sin violates people. It violates good things. It always has. It always will. But everything that God has ever given us has been good. God gave us good. But sin has messed it up. Sin has messed you up. Sin has messed me up. It's sin that we have had to deal with because of what Lucifer did. He messed it all up, and there was chaos, and there was darkness, and there was the terrible judgment upon the face of the earth. And then God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden. And here comes Lucifer, this cast out of heaven archangel. And I can imagine, as the rest of those angels looked on, the good ones, and saw what was going on, they looked on maybe with fear, in a sense, or at least some kind of realization that something was going wrong because they knew what Lucifer was like and what he would be up to. And Lucifer went in the garden and became a person that was indwelling a being that was beautiful that was in the garden. I don't know what that being looked like. I believe it was upright. And Lucifer entered into that being. Evidently, Eve was attracted to that being. But it was the fallen angel Lucifer that entered into him. And Lucifer lied and caused that one to lie. And that's why that beast is on the belly and was cursed and has to crawl upon its belly. We think it was something like a snake that was upright at first and then later was cursed. As far as I'm concerned, every snake I've ever seen is cursed. Therefore, I don't play with them and I don't fool with them. I've had some friends that had them in their house. I never would spend the night with them, and I still wouldn't. But these, Adam and Eve, were cast out of the garden. They were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, cast out. And God said, I'm not going to let you go back in there. And he took the cherubim and he guarded the gates of that garden. And I believe in some manner, somehow, took it to what we would know as paradise, and we'll reclaim it someday in the future. But as a result of what happened and their failure in all of this, they were cast out, and God sent the cherubim, the angelic beings, and said, you cannot go back in that garden. You know why that was the case? Because the tree of life was in there. They had already violated the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life was in there. Had they gone back in there and eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived forever lost, condemned, without any hope whatsoever to ever be redeemed. Thank God for the cherubim and those that gathered around the tree of life and guarded it so it would not violate man and sin forever. Then the angels have always been involved in watching over God's people. I'm glad that they do. There are angels. You'll discover, if you ride with Brother Rigsby, that angels are working overtime. And if you'll ride with Brother Phipps, you'll discover they're working double shifts overtime. I've ridden with both of them. But angels watch over God's people. And they were always busy and always have been busy. They're not through yet either. They've always been busy. It was two angels that warned Lot to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, that's a little reminder that that stuff is sinful. And God said, get out of that wicked place. Get out of Sodom. Get out of Gomorrah. And with Abraham and Isaac, you remember that Abraham raised the knife and he was ready to come down. Who stopped him? You say God did. But it was an angel that stopped his hand from going down and slaying Isaac. God has always used those angels. One time Jacob was fleeing away and God sent an angel down to him, and in a dream, he had a dream, and a ladder came down. And the ladder went all the way up to the banisters of heaven, and angels were going up and down that ladder, giving him the message that he needed at that time, pledging that they were going to guard him in love and be his guardians of love. And Jacob went on about his business of doing what God wanted him to do. The angels appeared to Manoah and his wife, and they had a son. He said, you're not going to remain barren. That was a bad thing for the wife to remain barren. He said, you're not going to remain barren. And the angel reported to them that they were going to have a son. His name was Samson. And they offered a sacrifice unto God for that. And the Bible says an angel went up in the fire of the sacrifice back to heaven, back to God. You remember, of course, Daniel was in the lion's den. And who was it that came there when he was in the lion's den to protect him and to watch over him and to give those lions lockjaw so they could not bite him or do anything else? And God got the glory for it. It was the angels that came there. And then there was a man by the name of Lazarus who was a beggar. He was a beggar. He didn't go to heaven because he was poor no more than the rich man went to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he rejected Christ, and Lazarus humbled himself. But the Bible teaches us that he was carried into Abraham's bosom. By whom? By the angels. The angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. The angels have been watching over God's people for all of the ages to comfort them. And then comes the time of Jesus. We call him Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And he was born in human flesh. And he was surrounded, it was announced by the angels, he was surrounded by the angels. They left heaven. One spoke, and then there was a group that came down and left heaven, and they said to the shepherds, "Behold, the Savior of the world. The Savior is being born." And they told them where he was going to be, and they went to see the Lord Jesus Christ. This angelic choir had been practicing, Brother Johnson, for years, for centuries. And now they came and they sang a song that night, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men." What a song. Boy, they were ready to sing. And they knew what they were singing about, to some degree at least, at that time. Then from there, Jesus grew up. He lived in obscurity in a carpenter shop where he worked for 30 years, 3 years public ministry. And we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's agonizing in that Garden of Gethsemane. Believe you me, he's agonizing. And he's saying, "Oh God, if there's any other way, if this cup could pass from me." What was in that cup that he was looking at? Our sins. The dregs of our sins were in that cup. And who was it that came to Jesus and ministered to him and strengthened him on that occasion? It was the angels, amen? The angels came and strengthened the Lord. And then they put him in a tomb. Jesus was crucified. Thank God he was. And then he was buried. And then the Romans said, "Roll that big stone in front of the tomb and seal that tomb, so that nobody can steal the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." As if they could have held God in a tomb. No way were they going to hold God in a tomb. And all of a sudden we see an angel sitting on that same stone that he had rolled away, in contempt, saying, "Did you think you could keep Jesus dead? Do you think you could keep him in a tomb? He is not here. Thank God he is risen. As he said, he is not here. He is raised from the dead." And then there was the ascension of Jesus Christ. He had a post-resurrection ministry. Many people saw him, as many as 500 at one time. He was alive. He was in his glorified body already. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his saints goodbye and the apostles goodbye. And as they go up, they are standing there, as he went up, they are standing there gazing at the Lord Jesus Christ. And an angel came and said, "Don't let this bother you whatsoever. This same Jesus that you see going away is going to come again in like fashion, in a glorified, wonderful body." A glorified body. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. And so there was that heavenly scene. Ephesians 4 talks about it. Revelation 5 talks about it. There goes Jesus up. An angel says, "Don't you worry about it. He's coming again." And then up in heaven, Jesus comes back through the portals. He left, and now he's coming back. And the Bible says that the host of heaven praised and sang, and they gave him glory as that angelic scene was there. You can read it, I don't have time, but Ephesians 4 and Revelation chapter 5, the angels bowed down, myriads of them, thousands upon thousands of angels came back there to heaven. They praised him and bowed their knees to the Lamb of God and the blessed Lion of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday, like those angels, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friend, you might as well do it now. You might as well do it now. It's never too early. Listen to what I'm going to say. It's never too early to be saved. But in just a few hours, it may be too late. It's never too early to be saved. But in just a few minutes, it may be too late. But someday, every knee, one way or the other, is going to bow, and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And the angels are up there waiting. Oh, they're busy. They're taking care of us in many ways and different things. I don't think you ought to worship angels and don't put them up like a statue and bow down and pray to them. That's not biblical. Totally unbiblical. Would anybody say amen to that? Amen. It's not biblical. It can become an idol if you're not careful. You pray to God through Jesus. The angels are ministering spirits, and God takes care of that. But the angels are waiting for Jesus Christ to come again. I'm glad they are. You see, when He comes again, He's going to be accompanied by a host of angels. We hadn't seen anything yet, folks. We cannot imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus, first He's going to come for His saints, but then after the 7-year period of time, the pseudo-peace, and then the 3.5 years of tribulation on the face of the earth, then He's going to come back. And the Bible says this in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Previously, one angel, maybe two, and one little small choir. But when He comes again, the seraphim and the cherubim and all of the archangels and all of the grandeur of the heavenly host and every born-again saint that is there is going to come back with Jesus. And what a celebration that's going to be. He is coming again, folks. You know that, don't you? And I believe the angels are some of the same angels that announced His birth. They're going to come back with Him when He comes back to set up His kingdom. Maybe, it may be, it just might be that our dull eyes might see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture of the church in our lifetime, and then we'll come back with Him and celebrate and rejoice. The songwriter wrote the song, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?" And part of the song goes this way: "O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away." Thank God for the angels. They are created beings of God. The angels rejoiced at the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, and they're going to rejoice when He gathers His fold to come back again. Thank God. Beautiful promise. Beautiful promise that we have according to the Word of God. And a perfect and sure hope. We call it the blessed hope. It's not an iffy hope. It's the perfect and positive and sure and absolute hope that we have. Jesus is coming again. Glorious day. The coming day when the angels will come back with Him. They announced His birth, and they'll be with Him when He comes again. Now, what are you going to do with Jesus? Lucifer rebelled against the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was a mistake. How foolish to rebel against this Savior, this gospel. There's only one way to get into heaven, folks. That's through Jesus. He came not by accident. He came, it was planned before the foundation of the world. The angels didn't understand it, and some of the prophets didn't even understand it. But the Father knew what was going to happen. He had the plan to redeem you and me. Don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just a little baby in a manger somewhere. He grew up. He took your place. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. And I encourage you today to receive Him as your Savior if you have not, and maybe rededicate your life to Him as you understand what it all means as we're reminded of Jesus and what He's done for us. Would you stand, please? Our musicians are coming. And maybe God would speak to your heart, you an individual, you someone out here in the congregation that would come today and receive Jesus Christ. Angels are not going to come and announce this to you right now, but the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart and tell you you need to come. You need to get saved. You need to rededicate your life. He will lead you to become part of this fellowship as God speaks to you. Whatever that need may be, as we sing, we invite you to come. Would you do it?